Welcome to the podcast Health Matters and More. This podcast focuses on past and present patients of mine, area business leaders, and people making an impact right here in Northeast Indiana.
Hey, how you doing? This is Dr. Richard Bush, and I'm here for Health Matters and More. And today we're here with Billy the Bug Buster. So we're going to talk about bugs and all kinds of other things that, might not be very fun in our house. And I'll tell a little story about my experience here recently. But hey, Billy, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Bush. Thank you for having me.
Great. Would you pull your mic a little closer to your... There you go. Try that out.
All right. How's that?
Oh, that's a lot better. Thanks. All right. So, Billy, I've known you for a long time. You've done a lot of work for us over the years, and you've actually helped us out a lot. So, you know, I can... One of the reasons that, we actually, I think, met the first time was my son, when he was about 3 or 4 years old. He was out running around out in front of the house, and he jumped behind some bushes and ended up on top of like a hornet nest or something like that.
Yeah, you guys had, we ended up finding 3 or 4 yellow jacket nests that have bored themselves into the ground and into the structure of your home.
Right. And so anyway, fortunately, first of all, my son is terrified of those things now. Anytime he sees anything like that, and he's 11 years old now. So, he's not afraid of a lot. He's afraid of those.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, but the nice thing about it was you actually got rid of that stuff, and we don't have any problems with that anymore. And I know that you use some special chemicals and things like that that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
All right.
But they're not chemicals, I guess.
Yeah, we use materials. Materials is sounds a lot better than, hey, I'm going to come in your home and spray chemicals or, you know, something like that.
Right.
Especially when you have kids.
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, let's get this started with... Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, about your business, and give us some information on that, please.
Well, my name is Billy Rourke. I've been doing pest control now going on 16 years. I worked for another company, ran it for 11 years. And then when it was time to, you know, take over the business, I asked him, you know, what's the number that you're after? And he says, well, it's not for sale to you. And I said, well, I'm going to open my own. So... my wife and I, we had a lot of discussions over the whole matter, and we, in 2019, we decided we were going to open our own and jumped out there. And 2 weeks after I opened, I broke my leg in 2 spots.
So isn't that the way things work?
Yeah, that's definitely the way things work. My wife, she's, you know, my right hand. She carried the company through the, you know, 8 weeks that I was really hobbling around. I was at every job site, but she did most of the work.
So out of curiosity, okay, and this is just to get things started here. We're going to talk about this later on as well. If somebody wanted to find out about you or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can give us a call at 260-579-1198 or go to our website, billysbugs.com.
Cool. All right, so fantastic. Now, when it comes to bugs, is that all you treat, or do you guys work with anything else?
We work with rodents. We have a wildlife crew that works with our company very close, so we're able to, you know, offer wildlife removal, bat removal, you know, just a variety of different things. You know, we just bring what we can to the company to help, you know, serve the community area best.
Well, you know, and I mentioned earlier that, you know, we've worked with you for a long time. I mean, obviously, I talked about the bees.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I think that you helped us get rid of some feral cats in a barn.
Yes. And then they also, some ground moles out there on the property that have been taken care of. But, you know, unfortunately, it's a...
That's a continuous process.
It's a continuous process. That's why we have the years of knowing each other through this whole thing.
It's always like, it's almost like you get them taken care of and then they come back. Yep. It's almost like the mob.
Yep. It's like the every year. You know, it's a every year reoccurrence. And then even at the same time when you treat it, you know, you're not going to get everything all at one time. You got to do sometimes follow-ups. And even with the follow-ups, you know, you ask people to allow time for the material to work because... You know, you're talking about maybe, per se, an ant that's coming from a tree out in your woods. Well, they're trying to get shelter because of this wonderful weather we've been having, the up and down. So they're trying to get shelter. So they're kind of forced which way to go, and then they just pop out. But after about 14 days, the problem's completely gone because at that point, our materials have gotten back down to where they're colonized at and just take care of the whole colony.
Speaking of ants, okay. Now, this is something that's near and dear to my heart because we did some work on our foundation recently. I've got an older house, as you know, and or it's built back in the 60s. So it's not that old, but it's old. And we did some work on the foundation because we had some water coming into the basement. And after we did that, all of a sudden we had this problem with these ants all over the place.
Yep, pavement ants. You realign where their normal path would have been. Maybe they had an old piece of wood that was down there waterlogged from years and years ago of water damage, and that's where they were. And now that it got fixed, it's removed. So now they're scrambling to figure out a place to go.
So when it comes to that, when you treat those things, how long does it take to get rid of them?
Typically about 7 to 14 days. And then ultimately, especially this time of the year, outside treatments are the cure-all. You know, inside, you're kind of putting a Band-Aid on it until you can get the outside.
Right.
So the outside's your main
So when when you're treating something like ants, I mean, is there, you know, are you using like chemicals or using product or some materials or what?
Yeah, I use a material. I won't disclose all the products that we use.
Oh, no, I don't want you to disclose anything. I'm just asking whether we were using...
I use a material, and all the materials that we use are, at the end of the day, every material out here in pest control world comes from a flower. You know,
really?
Yep. Yeah, back in the 1800s, they found that the florists from other countries were shipping plants and stuff over here to America, and on the same ships, they had seasonings. Well, they found out these seasonings and stuff, the bugs weren't getting to them. So it's like a cursithium plant, I believe.
Really?
That is the base of a lot of our materials.
So this stuff is it biodegradable then?
The material that I use, it carries a residual that's roughly about 90 days. Some of it carries it up to 7 months. But, you know, as far as once that time frame's gone, your material's diluted to nothing.
Oh, okay. So, is this stuff, I mean, obviously you don't want to drink it, but I mean, is it harmful to humans or?
Well, when we do the label on the material, tells us to have people and pets out of the treated areas until the material is dry, which, you know, typically outside you're looking at roughly a half hour, 40 minutes with a light breeze. Inside, 2 to 4 hours, depending on the airflow that you have.
Okay. Well, that's cool. No, I know that we all over, I was just told by my wife before I left, she said, no, Billy said that we can't, mop underneath the cupboards until, you know, at least right now, because we just put all this stuff down. He's like, so you can't do that right now.
Yep.
And she's like really upset about that because, you know, she's a little, she's kind of a clean freak.
Yeah. I have a lot of I've had, you know, the Amish communities, they're real finicky cleaners in their kitchens too. And we'll put some bait on there. The ants will line up like pigs on a pig trough, and the wife would come up and wipe the bait away. And it's like, ma'am, you got to let the bait work. And then I'm
also not supposed to kill these ants right now.
No, you want them to go take it back to their colony and spread the love. That way we take care of the whole colony in the structure.
So now my daughter uses a lot of big words for different things. And she always, one of her favorite words is infestation. Okay. So what would technically be an infestation?
An infestation to me, really depends on the insect. If I see one spider in my house, that's not an infestation. Now, if I have 50 in my house, that's an infestation. But if I see one bed bug in my house,
that's an infestation. I'm right with you.
Yeah. So
I understand that.
The infestation level, you know, varies on, you know, on the, I guess, the insect that you're dealing with, along with the cleanliness of, you know, what disease can these insects spread to people.
Right. Well, she calls it anything an infestation. I mean, I'm telling you what, it really is funny because she really goes overboard. And you know, she's a funny girl, but she really goes over the top with this stuff, especially when anything bothers her. So when it comes to that type of thing, as far as organic products as opposed to chemicals and things like that, are organic products, which it sounds to me like what you're using, are they as effective as chemicals?
The chemical treatments that you're speaking of, that they're basically the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, the bottom material of it all is, you know, organic at some point.
Right.
Now, you can get your, you know, young living oils and things like that, your, you know, tea trees and stuff. It always makes me laugh when I'm in people's houses. I can smell the peppermint all over, and I ask them, "So, do you use this to keep the bugs away?" And they're like, "Yeah, and it works." I said, "Then why am I here?"
That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. So let me change gears here a little bit, and we'll come back to all this stuff in a second. But what kind of training do you have?
I went down to Purdue for a class, and then. You know, every year we're continuously going to get college credit hours, and every 5 years we all have to obtain at least five college credit hours, or 20, I'm sorry, in 5 year period.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we went out to Arizona to Convect Tech School for our heat equipment for our bed bug training. So we spent a few weeks out there going to school to pass the test. As far as I know, right now in the state of Indiana, we're the only two that are certified to run Convect Tech.
Oh, really?
So
now you just talked about something I know everybody is concerned about. That's bed bugs.
Bed bugs.
Okay, so as far as bed bugs are concerned, I know that, you know, all right, I've been told not to put my luggage in the trunk of any taxi cab. You know, and along with that, pretty much any hotel in the United States is pretty much affected by bed bugs at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd be confident to say that every hotel in the United States has had at one point bed bugs in their hotel. I don't care whether you're, you know, the low end of the naughty side or the high end of the towers. They've all had bed bugs.
So when it comes to bed bugs, can you actually get rid of them?
Yes, you can easily get rid of bed bugs. It takes a lot of work and a lot of, you know, you got to know what you're doing and, you know, work with the clients. Everything we do is based on working with the clients as well, keeping them informed on.
How long does getting rid of bed bugs take?
We have different measures that we can do. Sometimes, if we throw heat equipment in there, I can have them gone within 24 hours.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen a bed bug. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know,
you would know.
I'm a little scared of that stuff. But so when it comes to those things, I mean, that's just a heat treatment, or is it a?
Oh, that's a heat treatment that we can do it over a 24-hour period. And then beyond that, we put down a liquid material. That way, there's a residual life left, because once you remove the heat, you have nothing left to kill them. So you got to put some secondary, because the next person coming into that hotel room, if they have bed bugs, guess what? That room has bed bugs once again.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible. It's just my whole body is like itching right now. All right. So now the girls, you know, the girls here, they know you pretty well. So,
yeah.
And because you've been around for a long time with us. And so I've got a list of questions that I'm going to try to hit each of these to make sure I get some other things, because this is going to make it a lot more interesting. Probably should throw my glasses on so I can actually see these, though. Hang on. All right. So as we're looking at these, if you had to deal with an infestation, what's the easiest one to treat?
What's the easiest one? A vacant home where I don't have to deal with many people.
So it doesn't matter whether it's like rodents or whether it's...
No, it's any infestation can, you know, you just, if with the years of experience that we have, we don't really have any problems with, you know, heavy infestations. And ultimately you get everybody engaged. You make people feel like they have a spot in the world, even if it's an occupied apartment or home. Mm-hmm. And then you can get those people on board to help you do what you need to do.
Right. And so as long as they're paying attention to what they're doing, you're going to do well quicker.
Yeah, we'll have no problems.
Right. Along with that, so another question I have is, if you have an infestation, what's the favorite one that you like to treat? What's the easiest one for you to treat?
The easiest one for me to treat, I like...
Other than people not being in there.
Yeah, I like treating yellow jackets. Yellow jackets are very invasive. They're very aggressive. You know, and it's something that not everybody likes to do. You know, when I train my guys, they like to have poles that they can stand back about 30 feet. I throw a ladder right up there and give them a little hand duster and say, now you're going to go up there and we're going to, we're going to kill these things, but well, we're protected.
And I do have to tell you, the amazing thing for me was you told me that we weren't using any chemicals, and I keep going back to chemicals, but you said we weren't using any chemicals. It was almost like graphite or something like that that was going to, you know,
take care of them. Yeah, yeah. We use a dust that'll take care of the bees and things like that.
That's pretty awesome. I think that that's... I didn't even know you could do that, but I mean, that's because just really fine. It's almost like sand, I guess. But.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So when you're working with these things, and you said like 7 to 10 days or 7 to 14 days for a lot of the stuff, is that pretty much across the board as far as
With the way the materials are designed to break down the insects? I mean, you have scientists that put these together that make the millions. And what they tell me exactly what my materials are supposed to do. And so that's what I share on to people. You can't break down something and then call it an end. You got to break down the whole colony.
Really? So when you break down the whole colony, I mean, so we're talking about like maybe thousands of ants or millions of ants or what?
Yeah, it's hard telling what you have subterranean.
I'm just thinking about the ants outside of my house right now.
Yeah, I would say just at this point today, I would say maybe 100 left floating around for about another 5 to 7 days.
Really? My goodness.
Especially with the warmer, the barometer change and everything, right. Weather up and down, it creates a big push.
So without disclosing where this was, what's the worst hopefully it's not my house. What's the worst infestation you've ever seen?
I do a lot of DCS work. Department of Child Services.
Oh yeah.
I make a lot of decisions whether or not people get their kids back. Those are my worst infestations because I'm a dad of 5 kids, and
I thought you had like 30.
No, I don't have 30. It seems like 30 all the running around we're doing, but no, with the 5 kids, I tell them I'm a dad first, and so that's my most difficult infestations, because typically when we get called in and I'm making decisions on taking the kids, they are overly infested to where you don't even have to enter the home and you already know what's there.
Really? So I mean, you actually are you're the person who can say, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I go in with a group of people and we determine whether or not
it's not just not healthy.
Suitable for the child to be in.
So, I mean, you're talking about like, are you talking about bed bugs, ants, or just cockroaches? Or?
Everything, all insects in general, cleanliness to homes. I mean, I do, I have one that I wrote up an air quality. Until it's air quality controlled, tested good, these people don't need to be back in there.
Wow.
Because the air was just so toxic of ammonia. And I mean, it's just cat feces and not even bugs that I'm working with.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh. Wow. Okay. Well, you're giving me some stuff that I wasn't even expecting here. all right, so we've already talked about the worst infestations, and so as far as other rodents and things like that, I mean, we've talked about the moles. You caught some cats for me.
Yep.
Feral cats.
Yes, and they get released. We take them all out. There's only a few wildlife that we do, euthanize right there. That's because that's what we're supposed to do.
But right.
Certain ones we relocate if possible.
You're talking about like groundhogs?
We don't relocate groundhogs, but like
I don't either.
Like possums, we'll relocate possum.
Possums skunks. Possums are great. They eat ticks.
Yes,
and they do a lot of great things for the environment. They're nasty as heck.
Well, Billy's Bug Busters is getting ready to get a baby possum as our mascot.
So really?
I'll be going around with our possum. We haven't named him yet.
No kidding.
But yeah, I'm getting an opossum here in probably the next 2 months.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's kind of neat.
I'm gonna train it like a dog.
Can you do that?
Yeah, they're easily trained. They're very cuttable, and you let them out and they go eat ticks out of your yard.
Yeah.
My wife, she's if she finds a tick on one of our kids, she doesn't let the kids go outside until I treat the yard. So I'm hoping this possum will help me.
So they eat ticks. What else do they eat?
They eat grubs, just other little bugs. And
so I could help, if I had a possum around my house, I could possibly get rid of all the grubs that are feeding all the moles.
Yes. Yeah, it'll certainly help.
Really? Huh. May have to get a possum. I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to be a hard sell for my wife.
Oh, it's gonna,
you know my wife,
it's
right?
Gonna, yes, it's going to be interesting when I'm able to take him actually around to jobs with me.
Right. All right. A couple other things here, real quick, as we're kind of, things are kind of winding down here. But you have an interesting history with some other things, right?
Yeah, I have a very, I guess, colorful history on everything. When I was 23, I ran into a gentleman down on the south end of Fort Wayne. His name was Tim Replogle, who was also known as Dick the Bruiser Jr. At the time, I was about 255 pounds, just solid muscle, and he introduced himself to me, and I started wrestling for the WWA here in Fort Wayne, and then from there, I did a circuit with the WWE, traveled all over the United States, and for about 7 years, I wrestled professionally under the stage name of Billy Bragg.
Every time you tell me this story.
And I was also under the stage name of Mr. USA. I finished my career down in Cincinnati as a heavyweight champion as Mr. USA.
Every time you tell me the story, I'm always like, no way. That seriously can't be true.
Yep. But I got two screws in my, holding my right bicep down in my right arm, and I got, severe neck pain now. Wrestling, it's hurtful entertainment. You know, it's a lot of people think it's fake and it's this.
You do know that I fix that stuff. Don't
I
you?
Do know that.
So we may have to take a look at you sometime here, Billy. Apparently, a pretty good hockey player.
I've never played hockey as a youth. I always, with my five kids, I have my second oldest son and my youngest daughter both play hockey here in Fort Wayne and also up in Angola. And, you know, I just got the itch. And so I learned about 3 years ago how to play. Now we sponsor a hockey team out of Fort Wayne here. And I play on the team, and we're now a level D2, which we're not the best, but we're also not the worst.
So, how far down does that go after D?
After D league, you got E league is the learning guys.
Right.
Then you got your professionals with, you know, you got some of the former Comets that are on those teams and things like that.
You do know that hockey is a pretty dangerous sport as well.
Yeah, hockey is a young man's sport, and I just haven't got the mind capability yet to realize that I'm not a young man anymore.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, that's how did you break your leg, by the way?
I broke my leg. I took my son to a concert. And, you know, once again, dad's a little bit too old, and son wanted to go down to the mosh pit, so dad went down with him.
Oh, no.
I just had somebody fall and lay on my leg, and then I seen other people falling at me, so I just yanked my foot out. And when I yanked it out, it dislocated from my leg.
Oh.
And then I went to stand up, not realizing I didn't have my foot there. And so that was a whole new world.
That sounds horrible. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, hey, I'll tell you, as I mentioned earlier, we're coming up on the end of this program. Is there anything else you'd like to add or anything else that we haven't talked about today?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I think we pretty much touched base on everything I do. You know, once again, I've been doing this. Billy's Bugbuster's been open since 2019.
How can they get a hold of you again?
They can give us a call at 260-579-1198 or look us up online at billysbugs.com.
You know, and I can tell you one thing, and as far as this is concerned, from a just a personal note, you've done a great job for us. We've used you for a long time, since my son was at least four. And, you know, so that's at least 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wait, 7 years. 7 years ago. My math is going out the window, Billy.
Yeah, that's like me when I'm looking at how many employees I have now. It's like, wow, I went from me and my wife to 5 years later, getting ready to start our sixth year, to now there's seven of us total.
That's fantastic.
So we're definitely growing, and you know, we're trying to provide the best pest control service in, you know, Northeast Indiana we possibly can.
Well, it's a testament to what you're doing, first of all. And second of all, I think the better part of it is that you're a local business.
Yes.
And you're local, you know, I always like to support local businesses. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. You know, so I do encourage you, if anybody out there has any problems with pests, whether they're bugs or rodents or anything like that, Billy does a great job. He's done a great job for us for a long time. So give him a call. And if you have any other questions about that, you know, you can certainly call us, Actually, just call Billy because I can't answer those questions for you. But anyway, this is Dr. Richard Bush. I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you very much, Billy. I appreciate your time today. Hope you have a great week and appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.